Today, I want to talk to you guys about proving things. Proving things. I know that in this room, with all the different people that are here, all of us have beliefs about things, whether they're personal or they're shared. We have beliefs that we're constantly trying to prove, right? Would you agree with that? Like you may not use that language, so I know I have to buy you into my idea this morning. I have to try and get you to agree with me. So you don't use the word prove, but your actions show that you want people around you to believe or do the things that you do. For some of you guys, you're really passionate about certain hobbies or certain interests. And so you're constantly trying to prove to the people around you that you're an expert at this, right? Like, I want to be an expert at cycling. I'm nowhere near that. But I talk about it enough, and I want people to see, hey, it's important to me. It should be important to you. For some of you guys, you have an idea when it comes to education or when it comes to medication or some other kind of Asian. Whatever it is that you could think of, you have these ideas. And so you're constantly trying to maybe prove to the people around you, hey, this is what I believe, and so you should buy into this. I mean, I think this is right, and that's a good thing. That's what makes you, you. Just as a disclaimer, we're not about uniformity here. So it's not just everyone has to look the same, be the same, and just compromise whatever it is. But we all of us have different things that make us us. Could you imagine, I was thinking about the people that came up with the ideas that were really instrumental in pushing our society over the next hurdle that needed to go over. Like, could you think of the guy that first thought the world wasn't flat? Right? You guys know that at some point, humanity, we thought that you could sail off the earth. So could you imagine being that guy and you're trying to convince all your friends in boat world? You're like, no, we can keep going. Like, we are not going to fall off the earth. Or I thought about the guy that first realized gravity was a real thing. Right? And then suddenly has to try and prove this concept and this idea. And so you know that there are things in your life that you're trying to prove to people. And we see throughout humanity, even amazing moments where people realize, you know what, it's not okay to treat certain people this way. And so now I've got to prove that we should love other people. Just think through what you know about human history. And then in your own story, there are things that we as humans are trying to prove to the people around us. Now, this morning, I have 17 minutes and 45 seconds left. So I can't hit every single one of those topics today. But we're in a church, so I figured, why not talk about Jesus, right? I mean, it's what I get paid to do, kind of. So why not talk about Jesus? And so maybe you're here and you don't believe in Jesus. And if that's you, I'm so thankful that you're here. Just so you know, we believe that you can belong before you believe here. You can come out. And so you're here and you're saying, I don't believe in Jesus because there is no proof for me to believe in Jesus. That is stopping you from believing. Like, you would just wish that I could do some kind of trick right now, call him down, hang out with him. We could have coffee together. You'd be like, I'm in. Like, I am so in. If Jesus has coffee right now, I am in. I believe that is all the proof I need. And so maybe you're landing there this morning. Others of you, if you said you believe in Jesus, have you ever had moments where you've attempted to share Jesus with the people around you? Right? Hopefully you have people who aren't Christians in your life. I hope you do. I really mean that. Because Jesus said that we are to tell other people about him, not just people that already know about him. So hopefully you have those people that don't know about him in your life, and you are trying to tell them about Jesus. And it's like, you're like, could I just have some kind of code? Like, my friend is ready to believe, but I can't prove Jesus to those people, and it's really frustrating. And so I think for this morning, all of us land somewhere when it comes to proving Jesus. Do you agree? You should, because I want you to. So agree with me. Just cater me. You guys need to clap or something? I'm feeling like it's tired. Thank you, Carol. That's just weird. We just clap for no reason. Sometimes that happens in churches. We're trying to figure out this Jesus thing. We're on a journey. You guys get that? Like, I'm on a journey too, just like you are. Don't think that just because I'm up here that I have everything figured out. I'm on a journey, you're on a journey, and Jesus happens to be the guy that we're journeying towards or trying to figure out how do we journey towards him. I want your help with this, all right? The proof is in the pudding. Look at that. That's awesome. You guys knew that. Did you know that phrase originated in the 1600s? So you guys knew a phrase that's almost 500 years old. That's pretty cool. Let me give you some background to that phrase, because it originally wasn't the proof is in the pudding. It was actually the proof is in the eating of the pudding, which makes a little more sense when you start to say it that way. But that's way too long, and I'm a millennial generation, so we're trying to cut everything shorter. So the proof is in the pudding is where we land. And the reason why that phrase came up is because in the 1600s, pudding was the dessert. I guess they hadn't discovered ice cream yet. Like, I would have done the proof is in the ice cream, personally. But the proof is in the pudding, and they were dressing up their puddings in certain ways. So they were decorating them with flowers. They were putting different fruits around it, just making them look really nice. I'm sure if you've seen paintings or pictures from that time period, you've seen like these elaborate desserts on this table. And that's because they were dressing up their desserts. And so someone would ask, what kind of pudding is that? And the response would be, well, the proof is in the eating of the pudding. If you take a bite, then you will know what kind of pudding it is. So I'm not going to try to prove anything to you. You should just get in there with your fork and just taste this thing. My hope is that it was always rice pudding. That's my favorite. Cozy Shack. Don't they know what they're doing? Oh my goodness. Oh my. All right, stay on point. So for us today, when it comes to Jesus, I want us to remember a phrase that's kind of similar. And it's this. The proof is in the pudding together. The proof is in the pudding together. You see what I did there? Am I clever or what? Right? That's pretty good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not conceited at all. I promise you. So the proof is in the pudding together. I believe that when it comes to Jesus and knowing him and believing in him, and no matter where you land this morning, so if you're over here and you're saying, I wish I had proof to believe in Jesus, or you're saying, I wish I had proof to tell other people to believe in Jesus, I truly believe that the proof of Jesus is in the pudding together. And that's going to make more sense as we read our text for today. So we're going to be in John chapter 17. If you have a Bible, you could turn there. If you don't own a Bible, before you leave, grab one of the Bibles in the baskets. Those are gifts, so just take one with you. But we're also going to have scripture right up here on the screen so we can all follow along together. John chapter 17, we're going to read verses 20 to 23. I'm going to have you stand in just a minute so we can read together. But I want to give you some background. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed. And now it's not his famous prayer, right? Because maybe you're familiar with the famous prayer that Jesus prayed, right? The Our Father. Right? Great prayer. Maybe you recited it as a child, or maybe you still recite it today. And I love the Our Father. It's kind of his famous prayer. This prayer, though, it's a little unique because it doesn't get a lot of spotlight. It doesn't get a lot of attention. But this is actually a prayer that Jesus prayed. And in it, he talked about you. That's cool. So would you guys stand with me? This is just what we do to honor what we believe is God's word. If you would stand, and if you feel comfortable, if you want to stretch your voice to give my voice a break, we're going to read verses 20 to 23 together. Now, for the past couple weeks, I've been messing up the words, so I'm hoping you guys can keep me on track, okay? I've been stumbling. Starting at verse 20, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. You may be seated. You did an excellent job. Pat yourself on the back as you sit down. Pat someone else on the back. You did a good job. So here's a prayer of Jesus, and he's with his disciples, right? You might know them as the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. This is the night before Jesus is going to be crucified. Right, so he's hanging out with some of his closest friends. And during this night, I encourage you, read John 16, 15, 14. It starts around there. And Jesus, he's washing their feet. Maybe you know that story. He's sharing a meal with them, and he's teaching them. And then as he concludes his time with his disciples, he moves into this prayer that we read in John 17. And now before we got to verse 20, Jesus was talking about praying for his specific disciples. He was referencing what was going to take place tomorrow, right? The crucifixion, that he was going to rise from the dead 3 days later. And then he gets to verse 20. And I love verse 20 personally because it's when he starts to include you and me in his prayer. I love it when I get text messages throughout the week from people and they're just saying, hey, pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. It just makes me feel really good. Does it make you feel good when you get something like that? Like I know that, and that's why I'll text a lot of you guys randomly throughout the week and just say, you know, I'm thinking about you. Is there anything you need help with today? What can I do for you? Can I pray for you? Because it's kind of this coming together. It's like, man, we're all of us messed up. No one has this figured out, and we're working together towards Jesus. Now, if it's so cool when one of you guys texts me that you're praying for me, how cool is it when Jesus in this text says, I'm praying for you? I mean, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Let me understand, where in the world did he say that? I did not see my name. See, in the beginning of verse 20, he said, I pray not just for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me. Amen. For everyone who will. So what that means is this. If you have a relationship with Jesus today, if you're saying, I believe in Jesus, and notice, I didn't say you have it all figured out, right? I don't know that anyone in this room has it all figured out. I don't. But if you're saying, I believe in Jesus, I believe he's a person. I believe that he came, he lived, he died, he rose from the dead. I believe that he's going to save me someday fully, that he's saving me now. If that's where you're landing, I want you to be filled with some joy right now because Jesus took time to pray for you. Imagine that. Almost 2,000 years ago, the night before he's going to die on a cross, he thinks about you, the person who will someday come to believe in him. Now, I think if Jesus is going to pray for us, we should give him the respect to know what is it Jesus prayed for. Right? All right, if Jesus, the Son of God, is here in this world and he is praying for me, well, then what in the world did his prayer look like? What was he praying? And he says in verse 21, I pray that they will all be one, just as you, talking to his Father, God, are one with me. Just as you and I are one, God, I'm praying that every single person, whoever believes in me, would be one. Amen. Now, that's interesting. Jesus highlights something that all of us in this room, I believe, if I can speak for you, care about. Unity. Getting along. Kindness. Camaraderie. Oneness, right? Whatever it is that you call it, Jesus knows this is such a big issue that I need to pause the night before I die and pray that unity would happen for all who believe in me. Why? Because you and I have seen the negative impact of not unity, of not getting along, of not working together, of division. We've seen that. You've seen it in any place you can look. You've seen it in relationships, right? I have. Right, people are moving in the same direction towards a certain goal, right? Marriage, parent-child, whatever the relationship is, you're moving towards a certain place as long as you're united. But the second one starts living for their own set of values and their own desires and the other is living for another set, what happens? It breaks apart. It falls apart. That disunity tears it down. You've seen it in businesses, right? When a business doesn't have one set vision and goal, here's why we exist. Here's our mission statement. We're going to move towards this. No, we have so many mission statements, we don't even know what we're doing on Tuesday, right? Like you just show up to work, like I have no idea what my job description is. The company doesn't thrive. You see it. And you see it in a church, right? Can I say that? That we see when division takes place in a church, it is devastating. I'm not just talking about on a local church scale. I'm saying you put on your news and you see another group of Christians protesting at another event and you're like, there they go, fighting with one another again. And what does that do? It tears apart. It breaks down. And so Jesus is so strategic that he says, look, God, for everyone who's ever going to believe in me, I have a prayer for them. They need to be united together. They need to work together. They need to love one another. To the same degree that you and I are one, they need to be one. To which I throw why at it. Why, Jesus? Why is it so important? I get it. Yeah, it makes sense. Get along. But can you give me a why? Because unity is not easy, right? Can we admit that? It's not easy to work with people, even if you're married to that person. It is not easy. So why, Jesus? And he tells us in verse 21, these two words, so that the world will believe you, God, sent me. Here's why unity needs to exist. So that the world, those who do not know Jesus yet, will believe that God sent Jesus to the world to show them love. He expounds on it in verse 23. He says, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Are you following what Jesus is saying here? Because this is a little mind-blowing. So Jesus is praying, I pray for everyone who will ever believe in me, God. And here's what I pray, that they would be united together with other people who believe in me. Well, why? Why are you praying that? So that the world will believe that you sent me to this world to show them love. The proof of Jesus' love is found in Christian unity. I mean, that's crazy. Because I look at Jesus and I say, Jesus, I think you got it wrong, man. Like, you could have picked something a lot cooler to display your love. Like, why couldn't it be that, like, miraculous signs is what's going to prove? Like, why can't I just touch something and it turns to gold? And then people are like, wow, I believe in Jesus. You did that? Right? Like, why can't it be something better, something bigger? And Jesus prays, no. You want to know how the world's going to believe that I love them and that I was sent from God to them? It's how much you love one another. It's your unity with other people. Now let me just say, if you're there and you're saying, okay, so let me follow this. Now I want to follow Jesus, but I know who I am. I'm talking for you right now. I know who I am, and I cannot be united with other people. I just can't. I don't like them. All right? It's okay to admit that. It's all right. We don't all like people. It's okay. It's all right. But you're saying, I guess I can't buy into this Jesus thing then. Because if I have to be united with other people who I can't stand, especially the Christians, right? I can't stand them. How in the world am I supposed to be a part of this thing? Here's the beauty. Verse 22 is the key to how this all functions. See, in verse 22, Jesus made a promise. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Jesus is now praying to the Father, saying, Father, I've given them the same glory you've given me, I'm giving to these people. Who people? The people that are going to believe in me. Why are you giving them glory? Because Jesus knows, and he's talking about something, I know that they can't be united if not for me. I know that they are not going to work together, that they are not going to love one another, that they're going to get so divided over so many different things if not for me. See, here's the problem. We get divided with one another when we don't make Jesus the unifying factor in our lives. Amen. When we make a doctrine the unifying factor. When we say, well, we believe this and that church, they believe that. And so there's no way we could work together because we believe something different. Now, you may believe something different, but that's not the basis of your unity. That's not what Jesus said. I have given them doctrine just as you have given me doctrine, Father. No, I've given them glory. You know what that word glory means? It literally means the full manifestation of God represented in the person of Jesus. So every part of God the Father, all of his love, his holiness, his righteousness, his perfection, shown in Jesus, now given freely to those who believe in him. That's what keeps us united together. So yes, is unity hard? I'd say it's impossible, if not for verse 22. When Jesus says, this isn't based on you, it's based on me. I lived a certain way, and the way I live is now available to you. And so when you start feeling like I can't unite with another person, the problem is you forgot. I'm talking really fast. I'm excited. The problem is, and I have 3 minutes. The problem is you forgot who it is that unites you to other people. It's not that you forgot some doctrine that you brought up in. You forgot that Jesus is the one that makes this thing work. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what Paul said. He's the one who starts it, and he's the one who finishes it. And so if you're saying, I can't work with that person, I can't love them, I can't. Well, somewhere along the way, you forgot that Jesus started, and he's the one who's perfecting it in your life. And so the answer is not for you to try harder. The answer is for you to trust more. And there's a difference. Because then we say, well, I guess I have to. Once you move into the territory of have to's, you know what happens. Things start to break down. When your relationships turn into have to's, it becomes a chore. And then you're not moving in the same direction. And so we don't drift towards have to's. We drift towards trusting in Jesus, the same glory that he had now given to us. Amen. And so you want to know what the proof is for Jesus? The proof is in the putting together. The putting together of messed up people who would never like each other in the first place. But because of Jesus Christ, we now have a common reason. We now have a common glory. And that's beautiful. And so this morning, if you're here and you're saying, I want to believe in Jesus, but I don't think I'm good enough to believe in him, you're exactly where you need to be. Amen. You are at the starting point. That is the starting point of believing in Jesus. For some reason, we think I have to be good to then come to church, or I have to be good to come to Jesus. The starting point is actually recognizing that you're not good and that the glory promise of verse 22 is now for you. Yes. And so today, if you're saying, I want to come to Jesus, but I'm not good enough, you're exactly where you need to be. Amen. Come to Jesus. He said, I'm going to give them the same glory that was given to me. His glory is available to you. Yes. And so please, please, please do not leave today thinking you can't know Jesus. Right now, grab a card in the chair in front of you. There's a spot that says begin a relationship with Jesus. Check that off. That allows me to pray with you this week, to connect with you this week, so that you can start this journey towards knowing the glory of Jesus now in your life. Now you're here and you know who Jesus is. You'd say, I'm a Christian. You needed this reminder, didn't you? Because I need it. We need to be reminded that the unity that we have with one another, and not just here in this local space, but I'm talking the church, the capital C at large. I'm not talking what denomination, I'm not talking about what background, I'm not talking about what they believe in church politics and all that. No, the church at large, the people who believe in Jesus, verse 20, because of the disciples' story, which is recorded here for us, those people we are to be united with because of Jesus Christ. We are to love them. We are to work together in sharing the love of Jesus with our world. You want to prove that Jesus is real to this community? Because I do. I want Flanders to be turned upside down by the love of Jesus. I do. And so that's going to take people realizing we are united together because of the glory of Jesus that is freely given to every single person. This Saturday, we have a tremendous opportunity to display the love of Jesus. And it's through a thing called Hope Day. Right? Hope Day. You've been hearing a lot about it. We've been talking about it here. And now this is like game time. Like, you have no idea how excited I am for Saturday, because I know that we are uniting with other people. You do realize it's not just our church doing this. There's multiple churches getting involved. And it's not just our site that this is going on. It's going to be across Long Island. Why? Because people have understood Jesus' prayer in John 17, that it's about us loving one another because of the glory of Jesus. And so I just want to fill your heads with some Hope Day for a couple minutes. Can I do that?
Yes.
I'm going to anyway. It's already planned. I got Mike. He's going to come up right now. And would you guys just clap for Mike? Because Mike is, he's such an awesome guy. Thank you, Mike. If you were sitting on the sides, you saw these stools, and you're like, what's going on back there? If you were in the middle, you're like, oh my gosh, where are the stools coming from? They're coming from back here. Mike, if you'd sit over there and grab that Mike. Right there. Thank you, my friend. So here's what me and Mike are going to do right now. We're going to have a completely unplanned, unscripted conversation. I'm just joking. Gave him these questions ahead of time. But we are going to have conversation together, because I wanted to spend some time talking about Hope Day, because Hope Day is coming up on Saturday. And maybe you don't know what Hope Day is. You're wondering, how can I get involved in Hope Day? And obviously how it's all going to play into what we just talked about in John 17. So, Mike, start us off by telling them what Hope Day is. Sum it up.
So Hope Day is a block party hosted by the church in communities,
yep,
across Long Island, across New York City, and across New Jersey.
What takes place there?
Well, if you get here Sunday morning coming up in Flanders, you're going to be part of a tremendous block party where anyone who comes in is called a guest of honor. And it's like going to Disneyland.
That's right.
It's just Disney. Like that. You're going to be greeted by a bunch of servants, hosts. They're going to greet you with a smile, handshake, maybe a hug, right? And they're going to come in. You're going to have a huge kid zone where the kids get to play and have an awesome time.
That's why the rock wall is still there, my friends.
Free lunch. Nothing is sold.
Yep.
We have sites that are giving away clothes and shoes, family portraits. And then you have a community services tent, where you can reach out and maybe get some help getting a job, helping fill out a resume. Some sites are doing haircuts. And we have a health services tent. So if you have any health problems, we have doctors and EMTs and nurses that can help.
That's awesome.
When you leave, you walk through the connections tent.
Yep.
And at that time, if you need prayer, you'll have servants and hosts that'll pray for you. And after you walk out of there, you get free groceries. It's pretty awesome.
It's a lot. And it's so cool. My favorite thing about Hope Day is that it's no strings attached, right? We advertise this thing, and on your way out, we have bracelets for you. I'm wearing a red one. I got so many things on my arms. Red bracelets for you. So grab one of those. That way this week you can remember June 3rd. But we advertise this thing, and there's some flyers there too. Take some flyers with you. We don't check IDs. We want to make that clear, because there's a lot of people that will see a lot going on. We're actually partnering with Southampton Town Police is going to be here. They're going to be doing car seat training for people who need to know, like, how do I put a car seat? I mean, I didn't know. I'm so glad that I got home safe the first hospital drive with Nate. But they're going to be doing so much fun stuff. But we don't want people in the community to think, oh, there's police there. I really can't go there. No IDs needed, right? I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
No IDs. Everybody who comes is a guest of honor and treated that way with love, respect, and dignity.
Yep. So Mike's been involved in Hope Day since the start of it. In fact, Mike, tell us, when did Hope Day get started? How did you get involved in this process?
Hope Day was started 6 years ago, 6 years, and we have a partner called Convoy of Hope. So if you go to convoyofhope.org, they're a world compassion ministry. They feed first responders, emergencies, the Fukushima disaster over in Missouri, hurricanes. We're the first boots on the ground to bring compassion, food, restoration to the community. So we partnered 6 years ago with Convoy of Hope, and some churches went into Uniondale, and we threw our first called Day of Hope back then. So we had one site 6 years ago.
How many people were there?
We had over 6,000, between 6,000 and 8,000 people show up, and I thought we were going to have 2,200, we got 1,200 volunteers. We had over 2,200 volunteers that
day. That's unity. Over 2,200 volunteers. This isn't just one church that did this. Just understand that. Maybe yes, perfect. Maybe you would say, you know, can we really do this thing? I mean, this sounds massive. How in the world are we going to do this? I mean, there's a lot of you in this room, but not that scale. That's why unity is so important in this thing. That's why it takes us loving other people and coming together to make this available. So, what else did that first site look like?
That first site was huge. We had 55 churches come together.
55?
Yeah, 55 churches. And it was birthed out of a pastor's heart to see the church unify to reach a community in need. So not only did we have denominational churches such as the Assemblies of God,
yep,
and the Baptist churches, we had independent churches join
awesome
us also. Church of God, Church of God in Christ, Church of the Nazarene.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So how did you get involved in Hope Day?
All right.
So, specifically.
So going back 8 years, right, Cheryl? So my wife's in the back seat, so.
We need wives to validate this.
Cheryl and I grew up in Long Island, and we were involved in churches for many years. And we saw the fragmentation of churches. We saw the island unto themselves. And we prayed. The Lord just put a burden on our heart to pray for unity, to bring the church together, to go out into the community and to serve. So the church then would lead the community with hope, the hope of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And through that, you know, if you see the media, and there's some good things the media does, but as soon as there's a failure in the church, that's highlighted, and that's what you see.
Yeah.
And we needed to show the world, the communities, that there is hope in Christ,
yeah,
and how that hope is real and tangible.
And that's what Jesus just prayed.
Yep.
Right? He wants us to show his glory to other people. So Mike spends a lot of time on Hope Day. Mike, I want to be Mike when I get older. I'm not going to lie. This guy drives like 6 days to work and then 8 days to get back. It's just amazing what he does. And he spends a lot of time on Hope Day. How much time would you say that you spend on average week on Hope Day?
Hope Day starts for me on June 4th.
That's the day after.
That's our anniversary. We've been married 39 years, June
that.
4th. So yeah.
That's awesome.
I couldn't do what I do without Cheryl.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's true.
So, yes. I would say anywhere between 8 to 15 hours a week,
yeah,
sometimes more. Right now, we're 30,000 feet above the ground,
yeah,
and we're trying to land the plane by June 3rd. We have 21 Hope Day sites.
21 different sites.
Yeah, praise
That's
God.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are some of those sites?
Well, let's start off with a quick one. Last year, you had a church here joining up with you in Flanders.
Yep.
Well, that pastor got the vision, so he went out to Greenport. So we're starting on the tip of Long Island.
How cool
in Greenport.
That? Someone partnered here and yep, said, we want to bring Hope Day a little further east, and now there's a Greenport site.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So you go to Flanders, and you go to Medford Gordon Heights, then we go to Brentwood, and then there was a pastor there in Brentwood last year that the Lord told him, he listened to the voice of the Lord, and he said, go to Central Islip. One got his permits. He calls me up a month later and said, did you hear the news today? Yeah, I did. He goes, you know those four boys that were massacred by MS-13? He goes, we're doing Hope Day in that park. We have the permit.
Same exact
in Central Islip. Same park. And I was on the ground last week. It was pretty powerful. We were going to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to that community, to the families they're hurting.
Yeah.
Then we go to Amityville. We go to Westbury.
Wow.
We go to Hempstead, Roosevelt, Valley Stream, Belrose, Jamaica. That's Jamaica, Queens, right?
Island, not yet. We're trying to spread out.
Ozone Park, Gravesend, Brooklyn. And we are in the Bronx, two sites in the Bronx. Staten Island at Mariners Harbor. And two sites in Jersey, East Jersey and West Jersey.
That's so cool. And that's amazing. And that's just in 6 years that this thing that started in one central space is spreading out. And I think you'd agree, it doesn't happen without unity, right? There's no way that one church could facilitate something like this. It takes everyone coming together. Now, Mike is obviously passionate about this thing. If he wasn't, I don't know why you're doing it. So why are you so passionate about Hope Day? What is it for you?
Well, as I said before, Cheryl and I had prayed for 2 years, starting 8 years ago, that the Lord would bring the church together. We knew, and that was a burden on our hearts, and I guess the gifts that God had given us to help unify churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew the church then would go into their community, and they would bring the gospel of Christ on mission to those that are lost, saved, and need help.
Wow. So that's it. For his passion is that people would work together. that all people come together. Could you just share maybe one or two wins that you know, some of those stories you shared with me of just lives transformed because of Hope Day?
Okay, so let's talk on the tangible side. In the Bronx, we had a woman who had no health insurance. Mm. She didn't know what to do. Her blood pressure was through the roof. She walked to the Hope Day site, saw some doctors. They got her help, got her to the hospital before she had a stroke.
Wow.
In Uniondale, we had a man come in and went into the health services tent. And as he started talking, they knew something was wrong. He was going to commit suicide. He knew the time, the date, the place. Mm. They reached out and they got him help in time. Cheryl was in a connections tent and got to talk to some young children whose mom had just lost a child. And she had to bring, she brought the love and compassion of Jesus Christ to those children. We were in a community in Jamaica where we had this crazy music coming out, right? And these guys hadn't had a block party ever. And the community comes out, they hear this music going, and we had Muslim women and men coming out.
That's amazing.
And come into the church, and they wanted to know more about Christ. That church was a Spanish services for 40 years, never had an English service. The next week, they held an English service, because most of the people in the neighborhood, it was only the common language they could understand. And they had and these people came to the church service, actually got into the home of a Muslim family and was allowed to pray.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It's just walls come down on this day, and you don't know the impact that it's going to make. Now, Mike, just share with everybody, because obviously this is a diverse room. I don't know everyone's story here. So you're thinking, wow, this is great for the church. This is my first time here. Can I get involved in this thing? Who can help out with Hope Day? Is it just for churches?
No. Anybody can help. And talk about a quick story. I had a young man call me last week, and he says, hey, I do job placements. So he's coming to Valley Stream. We're going to get some information out here. Next year it'll grow, where he's offering free job placements for those that need work. We've had doctors who were Jewish doctors who say, I want to volunteer and help my community. Put on the shirt and come out and do blood pressure checks.
Yeah.
But you may have certain skills or no, you may just be able to greet somebody.
Yeah.
And we need that. We need this, like you walk into Disneyland and say, with a big smile on your face, greet somebody. You may have a skill and a talent that I don't have that we can put to good use, whether if it's serving a hot dog for lunch, watching over some kids, helping with family portraits, giving out groceries, whatever it is. Anyone can do it.
Anyone can get involved. And so I want you to know that today, that we are uniting with a couple other churches to make Flanders site. But it's not just churches. We're working with different organizations in the community. We have different services that people are business owners in this community. They said, hey, we'll donate our resources. We'll donate the services we have. There are so many ways for any single person to get involved in this. So first, I don't want you to leave and think, wow, that church is great, but I can't be a part of it because I don't go there or I'm not a Christian. It's not about that. Hope Day is not about that. And I hope you heard what I talked about this morning. It's not about that. This is all what Jesus did, his glory extended to all people. And even if you haven't received that glory yet, don't miss out on Hope Day.
Right.
Because people's lives are going to be transformed. Even the volunteers, right? Aren't the volunteers impacted by Hope Day?
Yes. Yeah. Volunteers are really impacted by Hope Day. We had one area. So you may be a volunteer and say, I don't have any skills or talents. You may be bilingual.
Yes.
We need bilingual folks to come in and help translate, especially around this community. So there's another way you can help. There are just many ways to join in. We have these little tracks that come out. They're English and Spanish. We had a family who was English. We had no translators. Handed them one of these tracks. The mom didn't speak English. She starts reading the Spanish side of this and gave her heart to Christ.
Yeah, so you have no idea the impact that you're going to make. We wanted to take this moment today before Hope Day on Saturday and get you more information about Hope Day. I'm going to ask you guys to do a couple things, okay? Are you ready? All right, be ready. The first thing is this is going to be up on our Facebook page, on our website. We're going to even cut out just the Hope Day spot. Share it with people on your social media. That way, anyone can come that day. They don't have to sign up. They just have to show up. So 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, anyone who wants to volunteer can come out to this property and be a part of this thing. And even if you can't be here the whole day, just come out for an hour and just see. Last year, we had over 460 guests of honor come through this property. We had over 160 volunteers working together to bring hope to our community last year. And this year, we're only believing for it to be bigger. We're believing for more people to know about God's love through these tangible ways. Now, if you want to volunteer, as I said, come out this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Ashley talked about it. This Thursday and this Friday, we're going to be setting up at 10 a.m. so you can come out and help me with fencing and tents and tables. If you've got some free time, just come down and, like we said, I'll feed you, okay? I will buy you pizza, I promise. It'll be good. And then Thursday night, we're going to be uniting together with all different churches in Amityville at Freedom Chapel. And so you can find that on our website where the address is. You can find it on social media. But that is a great and powerful night for us to just pause on our one site in Flanders and get together with all these other people and say, you know what, we're united in this thing. We are united in bringing hope to our community. This is a cool thing, isn't it? I'm so excited. I'm excited for Saturday. Here's what I'm asking you to do. We're going to end our time, okay? And now, I know you'll be like, man, they did a lot today. We are still in our time constraints, okay? So I spoke shorter. Mike came up here, so calm down. But here's what I want you to do. And this might be a little weird, okay? So I get that. I'm prefacing it this way. It's weird. But I think you'll understand it. I want to pray for Hope Day, and I want it to be kind of a united prayer. And so how we're going to do that is I just want you to hold the person, hold the hand of the person. That might be weird if I'm just holding the mic up here. Hold the hand of the person next to you, because you look in any setting when there is unity and any kind of movement, protest, movements, people are what? They hold hands because they're a united front and they're moving towards a common goal. And so for us this Saturday, June 3rd, starting at 9 for volunteers and 11 for guests, we are going to be uniting with one another and with many other people. And so I would love for you to stand with me, grab the hand of the person next to you, and look, if you really want to be bold, reach across the aisle so that way we're really just one united front here. All right, and I'm just going to say a prayer. And again, I get it's weird, so don't feel any pressure. But I want to say a prayer of us just being united together. Father, I thank you for all that you're going to do this Saturday. I thank you that even in this room right now, we stand united saying, you know what, no matter our background, no matter if this is our first time or 100th time here, we are uniting with one another. And not just here, but we're uniting with other churches that are going to bring hope to Flanders. And it's not just Flanders. We're uniting with other churches that are bringing hope on 21 different sites on that day. God, that's an amazing thing. Father, I pray that our hearts would be filled with humility, that we would be filled with kindness and love and compassion, that it wouldn't be about our own agendas, our own desires that day, that we would all have one common goal, to bring hope to our communities. We're going to bring hope through food, through clothing, through bounce houses, through smiles, through groceries, through prayer. There's going to be so many extensions of hope. Father, I pray, like Jesus prayed, that we would be one with one another. Just as he prayed for us, that his glory would be on display to these communities and that people's lives would be transformed. Father, we thank you for this day. It's kind of a pep rally. It's to get excited for what we're going to do on Saturday. May we be filled with joy and excitement every day, not just till Saturday, but the days afterwards too. May we continue to show hope to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.